Listening to Terror on Tequila.
Ah, love is in the air tonight here on Terror on Tequila, with blood on the wall
and alcohol in our mouths.
You're listening to WTOT Terror on Tequila. I am Terror Dave Fuentes, and you can follow my blog along with the other Terror Dave, David Alba, at terrordaves.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, at Terror Daves, and take the time to like us on Facebook. I am joined once again today by...
Jason Lucas, your bartender of terror. I'm here to mix your drinks and stir your fears.
Fans of vintage slashers will recall that those special days on the calendar also provided special opportunities for mass killers, terrorizing their unwary victims during a night of holiday horror. Yes, ever since Halloween, there's been other notable days of nightmares, such as Friday the 13th,
April Fool's Day,
Graduation Day,
Mother's Day,
Happy Birthday to Me,
Silent Night, Deadly Night,
Prom Night,
New Year's Evil.
Which brings us to the subject of tonight's show, Valentine's Day. Learn how it's a pickaxe rather than a lost love that most effectively breaks a heart as we delve into three hellish hallmarks, courtesy of the original and semi-restored version of 1981's My Bloody Valentine, the 2009 3D remake, as well as 2001's Valentine. And since no Valentine's Day party would be complete without a game of Spin the Bottle, our own cocktail Casanova, Jason Lucas, will be blending for us some special heartbreaking highballs. What do you have for us tonight, Jason?
To comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable out there, I am pouring Valentine vodka cranberries for y'all, as well as my infamous blood red Jello Jigglers. Better hide your heart and hold on tight. It's Terror on Tequila. Skipping the foreplay and heading right for the climax, we kick off the Valentine violence with the classic and original restored 1981 My Bloody Valentine. Terror Dave, tell us all about that one, would you?
Well, Jason, Christmas ain't got nothing on Valentine's Day for the small mining community of Valentine Bluffs. Yes, as February 14th draws near, these folks redefine the phrase painting the town red, as their entire main street is adorned with enough red and pink, you'll swear you just walked onto the set of a Kotex commercial. And what of the 30-something young people of this town? Well, it's the social event of the year. They're all revved up for the big Valentine's Day party taking place at their luxurious Legion Hall. With enough fervor, you can hardly wipe the silly grins off their giddy faces, no matter how ugly their dates are. Fortunately for us horror fans, it's more than just the gaudy decorations that have us seeing red. As the town is being menaced by a tyrannical killer wearing a miner's uniform and brandishing a pickaxe, he shares his own twisted Valentine's Day spirit via his grisly murders, along with well-wrapped valentines complete with human hearts and witty limericks, such as...
Roses are red, violets are blue. One is dead, and so are you.
Ah, verily Shakespeare could not come up with better prose. Can the town's elderly law enforcement stop this fiend before they must do the unthinkable? That is, cancel the Valentine's Day party? Let's find out.
Let's do it. It's Terror on Tequila.
Well, I gotta tell you that this happens to be one of my favorite slashers, and
yes,
totally underrated. So the movie deals with a town that was basically had a bad experience around Valentine's Day 20 years before, where a group of miners were trapped due to a cave-in. And then 2 weeks later, they only recovered one of the miners who... basically went insane,
yeah,
surviving off his compadres.
Yeah, munching them.
Yeah, and that miner's name was...
Harry Warden.
Yes, and Harry Warden then came, after they basically rescued him, comes back on Valentine's Day and murders a few of the locals during their huge Valentine's Day party.
Yeah, this city really loves Valentine's Day. What's the name of the city?
Well, it's
not a city. It's like
Valentine Bluffs. So.
Valentine Bluffs. And
right.
It's in where?
I believe, I don't know where it's
supposed to be. Alaska or
you
Nova
know what?
Scotia?
It was filmed in Nova Scotia. I don't know. I think they're trying to portray an American town, but
yeah.
The way it looked, it kind of looked like Alaska to me. But
yeah.
Anyway, so Harry Warden, his last words before they cart him off to the loony bin are, "Do not have another Valentine's Day party or I'll come back and do the same thing that I did this year." So apparently this town, more than willing to negotiate with terrorists, basically shuts down Valentine's Day altogether for 20 years.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so now we're 20 years.
They gave in to the terrorists.
Yes, they gave in. So now we're 20 years later, and the town now has blue balls for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And we see that because they go literally all out. How would you describe the decorating technique of these people at Valentine's
Bluffs? Well, they're decorating everything from the exteriors of the snow-covered landscape to the laundromat. I mean, they've got hearts, pink and red Kotex-colored, you know, streamers everywhere. The Legion Hall, the school, the mayor's office, the police station. Every single building in the town has Valentine's decorations.
Right, especially Maybelle's laundromat, because Maybelle, basically there's two age demographics in this group. We have the 28-year-olds and the 80-something-year-olds.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's all you see in this movie.
Yeah.
So you have the young people that either work at the mines or are dating somebody that works in the mines, or you have the basically two old cops along with Maybelle, who was in charge of the decorating committee and must be amassing a small army we never saw. But it's funny because you've got these three old people that are just as geeked about Valentine's Day as the young people.
How about it?
Yeah, and they're all over Mabel.
They're all horny.
Yeah, they're all over Mabel, even the old people.
It's
like, Mabel, remember 50 years ago we did it in the back of your granddaddy's Model T?
And everybody's drinking Moosehead.
Yes, Moosehead.
It's the only beer in sight.
Yeah, it reigns supreme, even to the point where when you see a scene where Maybelle's carrying the decorations, she's carrying it in a Moosehead box.
Right.
Right, so they are totally, Moosehead reigns supreme
in
Valentine Bluffs.
No Budweiser products in sight, and good for them.
Yeah, so the big event is coming. It's Valentine's Day, and of course, how sad is that when Valentine's Day is your number one holiday?
Yeah.
But, everybody in town is just completely excited about that. Why is that?
And they're completely bored. That's why. It's because they're up there in the snow and in the gray. It's like going to Sweden. You're either drunk. You're drunk all the time because you've got 9 months of darkness.
Right.
So, everyone's just partying. But it just seems like you said, there's two extremes. It's like really old people and really young people. And everyone comes together for Valentine's Day. And they've waited for this the whole year. It's like Christmas. It's like everyone's like into it.
Yeah. And it's filmed in Nova Scotia, which, by the way, at the time of this taping, looks an awful lot like Chicago. But, they are pretty bored, except for the fact that they do have their fair share of drama.
Oh, yeah. Lots of loving.
Yes, but most notably, the love triangle between the lead blonde and the two men. She's currently dating Axel, no relation to Guns N' Roses, who's a minor. And then, meanwhile, her ex-boyfriend, who abruptly left her and town at the same time with no word or reason, returns to town and wants to take up where he left off. So basically you have this big love triangle. And at one point, the two men are fighting and she collapses and resigns herself.
Yeah.
And is like, please stop.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore. And it's like, bitch, please. You know damn well you're living out every woman's primitive female fantasy of having two men fighting over her. So, sidebar, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Snowmen.
Exactly. Exactly. But I have to say, on the whole, what did you think of this movie?
It's one of the greats. I mean, the original 1981 classic. It was one of my favorites growing up, watching it. And, this is the restored version, so you're seeing a lot more this time around. But it has all the elements of a slasher movie that you would love. I mean, it's got the love triangles. It's got the silly old people. It's got the silly young people. It's
shallow
got
plots.
The old coot telling you and warning you.
Right, prognosticating doom.
Right. You've got the
the tragedy of, you know, someone turning evil because of what happened to them at the beginning of the movie. But you've got a high body count. I mean, you've got all the elements in this restored version. I think it was very enjoyable to see it again.
I do too. And getting back to the whole restored part, it has a really excellent body count.
Excellent, dude.
Excellent. Yeah, it's got 12, I believe. 12 people killed, which is actually even more than Friday the 13th.
Right.
So we got to give this one a props for that. The version that we saw is a version that has 3.5 minutes of it restored. The one that finally was released in the United States back in 1981 was actually cut 9 minutes. This film, although filmed in Canada, when it reached the United States, MPAA basically was like, no way are we going to pass this. So because of time constraints, they wanted to get this released during Valentine's Day, or at least February. They went ahead and basically gave in to all the demands, just like the people at Valentine's Bluffs giving in to a terrorist. So they cut 9 minutes, and this version has 3.5 of those minutes restored. And I think it made a huge difference. What do you think?
Yes, it does. And you can tell by the quality of the segments that are restored, they're unmixed. I mean, they're just really unpolished scenes, but truly add a lot to this movie. It's like seeing it again for the first time in a new light because the violence is more enhanced. You see, if you want to say, better killings. You get to see more elaborate killings. You get to see things that are more like what you saw in the Friday the 13th movies, a little more gore and guts, certainly some cool stuff going on. But the quality is slightly diminished in those segments, but they add to it, and I think it's awesome for horror fans and fans of this movie. What do you think, Dave? It's one of your favorites.
Absolutely, and I totally agree. You can see a little bit of a degradation in the film quality when that part comes. But the parts that were cut, I was really amazed at how much they did. I mean, you have that whole eyeball scene, which was really cool, and later kind of redone in the remake, which we'll be discussing soon. And also, there's that whole scene with that one girl where she's with her little ginger lover, the redhead, and they're down in the mines by the miner uniforms.
Yeah.
And he goes up to get a beer, and she gets impaled on one of the shower heads.
Yeah, spraying out of her mouth.
But if you watch the original, you just see the miner pick her up, and then it cuts. But in this version, you actually see the full impaling.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. I really, if it's true that 9 minutes have been cut, I really hope a full version will someday make its way.
How about
it absolutely does add a whole new dimension to the whole thing. So I will have to say that this is a good version to see. Now, you cannot see it on Netflix. The one that they have available for Netflix streamlining actually is the theatrical version. So if you do want to see this uncut version, you do have to go and order the actual copy of it.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one thing to keep in mind. But it is worth it. I'm going to tell you that I would strongly urge you to do that because it is like almost seeing the movie for the first time. It was for me, at least. What do you think?
Yeah, and you know what? It's Valentine's Day time here this time of year, and it was good timing for us because we really enjoy that movie in the first place, but seeing the enhanced, restored version with the extra 3.5 minutes really does the trick, people.
Well, and you know, this is actually the perfect film for fully appreciating the whole holiday slasher experience.
I agree.
I mean, this film, above all others, I really, really makes me grateful for the whole slasher genre. Because Valentine's Day, it's pretty much the worst holiday ever. It's specifically geared for a small minority of people that are in a new relationship.
Yes.
And they're in love.
Oh.
And he's going to take her out to dinner.
Yes.
And he might get laid.
But,
oh, fuck.
He's going to get laid anyway.
Right. And, you know, the bottom line is that for the other 97% of us that are sitting at home and nursing our fifth beer in an aid to swallow down our cold tuna fish sandwich, there's really nothing better for us or anything that can redeem this horrific day than to turn on our TV and see some young lovers getting impaled. What do you think?
I think that's about right. I think that really strikes to the heart of the matter, don't you?
I absolutely do. And so I'm going to give this film 4 vodka cranberries straight up.
12 jello jigglers.
Yes, well, we did. That's the thing, people. We do drink. We do have a jello shot after every death. So that's
why
you may hear me slurring in this podcast. Because, as I said before, my bloody Valentine delivers the goods.
Sure does. I mean, Friday the 13th was a competitor to this movie. Came out before, probably filmed, you know, neck and neck. And My Bloody Valentine was sure going for it. I mean, they really beat out Friday the 13th when it comes to the killing.
Well, and that is why it probably got cut, because there's a lot of rumors as to why that happened. One of them is because John Lennon was killed in 1980, so there was a backlash regarding movie violence. Another one was that because it was a Canadian export, that there was a little bit of prejudice against them from the MPAA. But actually, a lot of people will agree that probably it was because Friday the 13th got away with too much.
And that
is kind of supported, because Friday the 13th Part 2 was actually cut, or should I say slashed.
Yes.
And there's never been a restored version of that available at all.
Right.
So that's something, people, we should definitely be petitioning the stations to do. Paramount, if you're listening, please give us a restored version of Friday the 13th Part 2, and also give us a full 9-minute restoration of My Bloody Valentine, because we love it.
Yes. And for those who are listening, if you haven't checked out this version of My Bloody Valentine, you need to do it. It's Terror on Tequila. While Terror Dave tells us a little bit about our next feature, I'm going to replay some of this film's raunchier scenes. Let's see if he can keep a straight face through this.
Yes, just like the original My Bloody Valentine, the 2009 remake also features a
We're watching
Full Frontal right here, trying to go here.
This movie is trifling.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me try to connect myself here. Okay, this one also features a marauding miner who terrorizes the mining community.
In Full Frontal and Backle.
We're looking at a woman walking outside by a trunk, it's fully naked right now.
You're going to love this movie.
Okay, let me go back. I'm sorry. Okay. The My Bloody Valentine remake, 2009. Features a similar storyline to the original My Bloody Valentine, which deals with a marauding miner terrorizing a small community. Only years later, one of the survivors returns after inheriting the mines, intent on selling them, thereby outsourcing the killer by basically killing them economically in one fell swoop, rather than one victim at a time. Okay, this film also...
Can't believe what I'm seeing, people.
Okay, we're watching a naked lady running fully naked across the hotel. Okay, God, I can't do it. Okay, we can't do intros like this. Again, I swear to God. Anyway, the lead character is trying to sell off the mine that he inherited, which of course is pissing off the locals. And meanwhile, while this is going on, another mysterious killer, or is it the same one from years before, clad in a miner's costume, is terrorizing the locals and killing them with his pickaxe vengeance. Jason, please take this away.
This movie is full of TNA and lots of it, and lots of blood. What do you think, David?
And in 3D, let me just say that I actually saw this movie when it came out, its opening night. I was in St. Louis. I got to see it in 3D. It was... actually one of those theaters that actually sold alcohol, so I did have beer while I was watching it. I got to tell you that I have seen many 3D movies, but this one ranks right up there with Piranha 3D as being absolutely a wonderful movie to see in 3D, and definitely something everyone should experience. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
So much gratuitous nudity and just blatant 3D. And actually, when you think of 3D, I think horror is actually tailor-made for 3D, because the very act of something coming out at you is horror. And this movie and, again, Piranha 3D were definitely two movies that I have to say, of the 20-some movies I've seen in 3D, that are worth it. I know a lot of people give a lot of shit to the whole idea of remakes. People don't like remakes. Usually when you start talking about a remake, it'll elicit immediate negative feedback from people on Facebook and otherwise. But, I mean, remakes are basically a fact of life, folks. I saw Robert Englund at the Rock and Shock Convention in 2011, and even he said, it's like, you know what, make peace with it, because Hollywood's run out of ideas, so remakes are a fact of life. I don't have a problem with remakes as long as they are more reimaginings rather than just complete blow-by-blow remakes like Psycho was from 1990, which was, by the way, horrible. But this one, I have to tell you, I thought was very entertaining, which, of course, is the original purpose of a film. And I have to say that the murder and the nudity and all that just made for one hilarious, obviously, as you picked up from our intro, hilarious film and a great time overall.
You gotta love it.
Absolutely. And I think that there's plenty of blood. There's plenty of gore, and it's a little bit, it's definitely different than the original My Bloody Valentine. This one does take its own flavor, you know, even though you're dealing with the same kind of killer and the whole Valentine's Day thing. This one's definitely unique and absolutely worth checking out. I'm sorry that the people listening probably don't have an opportunity to go see it on the big screen in 3D.
Right.
But man, was it worth it. Very funny. And we laughed through this movie. It's definitely a terror on tequila.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, my God. You've got just ridiculous acting, ridiculous actors, ridiculous situations. You're laughing at every death scene. I'm sorry, folks. You are going to enjoy this movie. The original My Bloody Valentine was really a good movie. And you are, if you're a fan, you will enjoy this remake. And it is full of blood and titties. And beautiful girls and lots of blood and lots of action, but lots of just craziness that will make you laugh at the same time.
And the star is Jamie King, who later will also play on another slasher remake, Silent Night, which is a remake of Silent Night.
Oh, yeah.
Deadly Night, yeah. And she just like kind of what's similar to the original actually kind of plays a female caught between, you know, kind of in the middle of a love triangle between the two lead male characters. She's married basically to the police chief of the town who, for some reason, kind of looks like a male impersonator. I don't know why. With his weird beard and all that. It's kind of like something straight out of the Madonna video. And Jensen Ackles' character who returns to town, very similar to the original. But this one does have kind of a twist ending. A little bit more psychological than the original, and absolutely, though, worth watching. I will say again, very funny, lots of blood, lots of boobs, and if you enjoyed Piranha 3D, I would strongly urge you to make a night of My Bloody Valentine 3D and Piranha 3D, and if you have a 3D TV, like my buddy David Alba, if you have a 3D TV, you can have, like, the ultimate night watching these two films. But if not, you can still have a lot of fun because you know what? Boobs and blood look good whether 2D, two-dimensional or three-dimensional. And I will definitely say that this movie is fun. I enjoyed it at the movie theater. And you can say whatever you want about the remakes. This one is a keeper. What do you think,
Jason?
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's pretty true. It keeps to the spirit of the original. It's got a lot of twists and turns to it. And certainly a different ending. But at the same time, you will enjoy it if you like blood and guts and lots of boobies.
And pretty much everything else. This movie leaves nothing to the imagination. And let me add that when I did see it on the big screen, I made the mistake of taking my 9-year-old son. So I'm sure he's probably been traumatized or whatever. But it was definitely a fun movie. So absolutely go and see it.
Yes. And you know what? At least you can say you heard it here on Terror on Tequila. Dave, will you read me a Valentine?
Well, of course, Jason. And how's this for you'll wish you could forget me not? A bunch of grade school ne'er-do-wells pull a terrible injustice on one of their disturbed male classmates. This is accomplished courtesy of their slightly overweight gal pal, who drags him under the bleachers for a special Valentine's Day tour of her tunnel of love. After discovering that her friends have been watching, this lovesick Leviathan saves face by immediately accusing him of assault, resulting in a tuition-free trip to reform school. Fast forward 13 years, and these same brats not only all grow up looking like supermodels, but further defy logic by somehow remaining friends straight on through college. Unfortunately, they're also being stalked by a mysterious maniac, donning a Cupid mask, either that or one of the Campbell Soup kids, and suffering inexplicable nosebleeds while murdering his victims. Has their screwed-over schoolmate returned to extol some Valentine vengeance? Or is this one belated Valentine slasher that should just get returned to sender?
Very nice. And let me say that the blood reflecting off the ice in my vodka really brings out your eyes.
Well, I only have ice for you, Jason.
Whoa, is it me or did it get really gay in here?
Well, I wish I could say we had a gay old time watching this movie, but this crappy Cupid really missed the mark. Valentine, of course, being the Renaissance period, I don't know. I have to tell you that most of those films, as much as I remember going to the theater and enjoying them at the time, are basically forgettable. They are missing core elements of the entire vintage slashes period. And Jason, you were bringing up some really interesting points while we were watching Valentine that really suggest that it's much more than just what Scream did, that there's actually some other elements that are missing. What do you think?
Well, you have a complete silly ending, and going backwards from there, you have the elements of horror are missing. You have completely well-lit sets. Everyone has a spotlight in their face at all times. You're sure to see everything in the room, which destroys horror. The whole thing about horror back in the day was that you couldn't see what was going on in the room until it happened. This is alerting you to every single thing. Every camera angle is poised so that you see what's about to happen. It doesn't surprise you. You know what's going to happen before it happens. No one looks frightened. No one looks afraid. The killer is well lit, is there. You get a warning. There's no drama. There's no tension. There's no horror at all. These movies just are bastardized horror films. Anything in the 90s and in the past decade are bastardized horror movies. Once in a while, you have a good movie that has elements of true horror in it. This one, Valentine, has none. This one is simply a fully colorized, made-for-TV type movie. It's paint-by-numbers. It's predictable. It's cookie-cutter. The actresses, the actors are all, you know, G-rated drama. There's nothing on it except for some titties at the beginning of the movie that'll give you any sort of sense that you're seeing any sort of movie that has anything of a risky content.
Well, that makes sense because I've seen this movie a few times, and every time I see it, it's almost like it's the first time because I totally forget it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's really an interesting point because we live now in the whole Blu-ray high-definition era, and you wonder, by going that far ahead, if we aren't setting ourselves back in regards to horror. Because in the 1980s, yeah, that was the golden age, but there was a grittiness. It was definitely more grindhousey. You couldn't always see what you were seeing. And that maybe created more opportunities for us to use our imagination.
Yes. This is just like you said. It's just made to... barely titillates you. There's nothing going on in it that's horrific. There's nothing absolutely that can draw you to it at all. You're just kind of watching blandly and saying, oh my God, the movie's over and I don't know what just happened, but it's really boring.
Well, the ending is definitely a little confusing. They kind of lead you to believe it's one thing and then you kind of get an instinct that it's another, but then it doesn't make sense about the first thing. Yeah, I mean, it has death scenes. It's definitely a slasher film. And I mean, you're going to watch a film where people get murdered, but it ends up being very forgettable. And I don't understand why, other than you're right. Maybe it's just a little too well lit and maybe it's just a little too well done. And so it just doesn't work. I wonder almost if it was made, if the same film with the same characters and plot line was made back in 1982, if we would have thought it was one of the good ones, you know?
Well, you know, the setting is impressive. It's a huge house, big party, big Valentine Day party.
Certainly a lot better than the first movie's Valentine party.
It's just like everything is lit up with like spotlights. It's just ridiculous. Like they've got like lighting everywhere in this house. And the thing is, if you really want to see a scary movie with a killer that looks like this, watch Four Flies on Grey Velvet by Dario Argento from the early 70s. This is much more effective than this movie. However, if you want to watch Valentine, it is only worth your while in that there are a couple cool scenes. If you like hot-looking chicks, that's cool.
But other than that, the horror does not stand out to me.
I wonder if it makes a difference if the characters are actually no names rather than people that you recognize as actors and actresses. You know, a lot of the 80s stars of those films were pretty much no names. And I wonder if that helps. If sometimes it's just, if it keeps the whole element of we don't care about you, go ahead and get killed. If that maybe helps if you don't know who the actor is. Whereas in this case, there were recognizable faces.
Well, you can throw anybody into a good horror scene and they won't be cared about. This movie is just like, I'm lit up. It's to showcase who I am. We don't care about the horror. It's to sell tickets. And it fails miserably. So I think Valentine is a failure as a horror movie.
Yeah, I definitely do, especially in comparison to the original My Bloody Valentine. I guess if you had to pick one film to watch on February 14th, I'm going to go with the original, tried and true. My Bloody Valentine, maybe check out the extended version. I think that would definitely be worth your while. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say if you're into it, you watch the My Bloody Valentine extended version from 1981. That's the hit of the night on Terror on Tequila.
Thanks for tuning in to WTOT Terror on Tequila. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And if you're interested in learning more about slasher movies, be sure to go to Amazon.com and check out the Slasher Movie Book by J.A. Kurzweil, as well as the Mammoth Book of Slasher Movies, an A to Z guide to more than 60 years of blood and guts by Peter Normanton. I received both these books from the other Terror Dave, David Alba, as a Christmas gift. But if you're alone this holiday season, I urge you to buy it for yourself. And if you are alone, be sure to listen to us as well as check out the movies that we recommend. And if you do have a date, fuck you.
And this is Jason Lucas, your terrorific bartender, telling you it's better to taste it than waste it on Terror on Tequila. Listening to Terror on Tequila.